But if we are not known about our own selves, the philosopher said we are fools, we are ignorant. Man body is the highest in creation, we should develop all around, physically, intellectually and spiritually. Physically we know so many paths how this man body can be kept, in health. In outside intellectually you know, we can hear, see men talking from thousands of minds through radio, television. We can go around the world in hours. We have reached the moon last night also. Another trip was taken to moon, you see. We are at other trying to attend other men too. With all these in advancement, we are not happy because we have known little or nothing practically our own self, what we are. What. So Master said that this one thing, the only remedy is to come out of this delusion or ignorance, or out of this optical illusion, is to leave the boat, rise above. Now all Master came from time to time, they preach the same thing. I'm telling you in this way, they said in their own way. Emerson said, tap inside. Christ said, except you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, Jewish side, was a very learned man. He came up, Lord, we are elderly people, how can you re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He says, well, look here, people worship you like anything. You are a very great learned man. Don't you know that spirit is born of the spirit and flesh of the flesh? Then says, you must be reborn. One birth in this man body, the other into the beyond. When you rise above, your whole angle of vision is changed. This very world appears to be all changing. Similar these very things are prayed by rishis of the old. There is a custom among the Hindus, they make children twice born at the age of 5, 7, 9 years old in the old days. Even now that custom prevails. They gave them Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra means rise above bodies and catch the ray of the sun to be one with the sun. O God, direct our souls to that truth. This is a prayer. And children were given demonstration of rising above physical body and see the sun rise within. That custom still prevails amongst the Hindus. But they give the same mantra, but no demonstration for want of practical people. It is just a process of leaving the body. This is a process to be reborn. First we must die, then reborn, you see. We should rise from the physical body above, die this way, rise that way. That is why I said, you see, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. I think you might have attended some man dying. What happens? He does not recognize you. You call him, he does not hear you. Because your attention will be drawn from the eyes and ears. Ultimately, the eyes are upturned. And drops in comes. This is dying this way, rising that way. In actual death, the cerebral cord, which is based on the reactions of the past karmas, that is broken. in this life, to die while alive, that silver cord still remains intact, it's not broken. You have to come back. Prophet Muhammad in Quran says, Mautu kiblantras, learn to die before your death. They came to the Prophet and said, is it a death which leads us to the grave? He said, no. It is such a death that won't lead you to the grave, but it is a death which will lead you from darkness to light. Sun sets this way, rises the other way. So they go, you got the man body, go, learn to die and derive the full benefit from your man body. And this all other master, Dadu, says the same thing in his own language. Die before die, usual death everybody has got ultimately. Guru Nanak says, learn to die, learn such a yoga, how to leave the body at will. Then he goes on to say, learn to die 100 times a day. I was in India 3 months back. I'm now here. No more there, but here exists, is it not? There's something like that. So for that reason, moral room, he says we are in the prison house of the man body. It is locked from all outside. We cannot run away out of it. How to go out? We can make a hole in the roof and go out. So it is what something takes cross daily. This is cross. Rise up, body. There you go. Saint Paul said, I die daily. I am quoting all this to you, the basic teachings of all scriptures, of all masters who came in the West, they have been the same. How to come out of the delusion is to rise above body consciousness. They said, man know thyself, Jinautisiyatam. Greek philosophers said in their own language, oh man know thyself. Latin philosophers said the same thing, Nasi Tipsam. Guru Nanak says, you rise above body consciousness and know yourself, you cannot be out of the delusion. So man knows thyself, we generally take it as a level of senses or driving influences to our feelings. It is really a practical self-analysis of rising above body consciousness. Then know yourself, you'll find some power is keeping you in the body. I say this is my spectacle, I put it up. My spectacle, is it not? This is my watch, I put it up. This is my coat, I can take it out. I say it is my body. Can you take it up? So this demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness is given by a master the very first day, how to rise. When you rise above body consciousness, your inner eye and third eye and single eye is opened. Your attention will be drawn from all outside and from the body below. Then what you see, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. God is light. Take it that the light which is used is not darkness. So all masters, therefore, gave out, Mala Room says, O God, send us such like men who can take us out of the box of the man body. Those who rise above body consciousness daily, no sting of death is left. We are afraid of death because we do not know how to leave the body. What will happen to us in the beyond? If now we rise above body consciousness, can traverse into the beyond, then to go beyond is a happy joyful event. This is Swamiji, the latest Mahatma, also gave the same thing. This, how to rise above body consciousness, this will be demonstration given to you by some adept in that way. Guru Nanak, Guru Amar Das, after 70 long years, when he came to the feet of the second master, Sikh master, he came to know, well, these outgoing faculties are to be inverted. And people ask, how to, what is that meant by outgoing faculty should be inverted? Yeah, well, sit down and see. This is practical demonstration. Then what will happen? He says, when your outgoing faculty have been down to the seat of the soul in the body, body will become numb. And your inner eye will open to see the Godhead. Very practical demonstration. So all masters said, so what, such a master is what is like. His body seems to be working in the world, but his soul is the mouthpiece of God. He speaks as inspired by God. He appears to be engaged in worldly affairs like anything, but when he walks, he rises above body consciousness and traverses into the beyond. This is the competency of God. That's the difference between him and every man. So Maharaj Rumi said, don't take masters at the outer form, level of the outer form. They've got the same two eyes, you've got the same two eyes. They've got the two hands, so you've got the two hands. Difference is between realization. A man is learned with a PhD degree. The other man has learned the outer form is the same. When you remain in contact, you know what he is. So God dwells in the temple of man's body, which he has made in the womb of the mother. Of course, he does not reside in temples made by human hands, but he does reside in temples made by him in the womb of the mother. Once I gave a talk in London on my last tour, when I quoted this, God does not reside in temples made by human hands, one bishop arose, his name was Stubbs. You have thrown atom bomb on all our Christianity. Well, no, this is what the Bible says. Outer models were made with a very noble purpose. We do respect to show that such like light is within you, such like sound is within you. As long as they are practical people, demonstration was given to them by a practical man. For want of them, now we are given every to the outer models only. We respect. They go there, that is for the beginners. But further thing, the models of which these were made, that we forgot. So, Maulana Rumi says, those who are awakened people, they look to their own body as the true temple of God. For others who are beginners, for them the outer temples are there, to start with. So you find this possibility can only be had in the man's body only. It is only in man's body that we can realize God. But to realize God, how can we realize? God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the mind or intellect. Mind or intellect can give you some understanding to certain and not further. So result is, we must know ourselves. Our soul alone can know God. Because being of the same essence as that of God, like knows the like. You light a candle, the flame will go up. The source is at above, sun. You throw a cloud of earth into the air, that will come to the earth because the source is there, earth. If we are just cut off, divided of all outward attachment, body and everything, nothing our soul would like to go to God. So, what is the obstacle that we ask? Master say we have seen God all around. We have also seen in the man body too. Guru Nanak went to Persia. Kajiruddin asked him, you are a great saint, you must have seen the house of the God. Then he said, yes, I have seen. What did he do? He described this man's body. He said, there are two windows. From above, God asked us to come back home. So these are the things. Now they say, why we can't see you sacred? Because mind stands between you and God. As I submitted before, we are in a great delusion. Our souls are in control of mind, mind is in control of outgoing faculties, and mind controls the intellect, then how can we know ourselves? We have recourse to only such things which are concerning to these things only. So this is a practical demonstration can be given by a master. Now they come and they have analyzed why mind does not want to leave outside things. Because it is fond of enjoyments. And all enjoyments can boil down to two things, light and sound. Good scenery, good beauty and music. God has given us the same thing within us, more beautiful, more glorious, more enchanting and more bliss-giving. And that is God's expression power which has got two, especially light and sound. Physical body, astral body is more beautiful than the physical world. All glory and beauty lies within you. Causal is still more beautiful. Super causal is still all spiritual when you beyond go the two home of the Father is the two bliss-giving things. So Master say, if you put one foot on your mind, control it, the other step that you take, that will lead you to the house of God. So mind is the one thing that is stand. But how to now control the mind? There are so many methods by outward, finding outward practices, by reading, singing, discussions, drawing inferences, with all that, mind still far away, then again runs away. So this obstacle, you see, can be had only if mind is given more, far more bliss-giving, far more beautiful than the outward environment. And that is within you. God, when you want to, just with God, when you want it to be managed, there is vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. God is light. God is music of the sphere. That is within you. This obstacle can be removed only by means of joining you with the divine melody and light within you. Both the sound current and the light, when you see, you find their bliss begat mind leaves of all outer enjoyment. This way to God is within you. Where the world philosophies end, there the religion starts. There are 10 doors in the man body. 9 are apparent, 2 of eyes, 2 of ears, 2 of nostrils, mouth, and 2 underneath. These open to the sense world. When you rise up to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, there the 10th door is, and now it shall be opened to you. So, Master, what is that? He gives you a demonstration of that. How to withdraw your attention from all outside? How to withdraw from the body below? Just like man dying, his eyes are upturned, that's the seat of soul and back of the eye. When you come there, with little thought of his, he gives a way up. It's very difficult. Yogis have taken hundreds of years to rise above body consciousness. With little thought of his way up, you rise above, open the inner eye, see the light of God. So, mind can be controlled only when it gets that bliss. So that bliss, you see, all masters refer to these things. Not one, all. Aristotle told what? That I heard a sound within me which pulled me into higher spiritual planes. Plato had said the same thing. Pythagoras had the same thing. Music of nature of all harmony, absolute truth clothed in light. So similarly, you see, so Aristotle had to say the same thing. Unstruck fire, Sarosha. Veda says so, Buddhist says so. So that is the water of life within each man. which is called by, you know, by whom? That is called the nectar of Naam. That is called Aab-e-Hayat, water of life, bread of life. So that is within each one of us, but how to have that thing? By rising our body consciousness. Tulsi Saint tells us, a sound from afar is coming down, calling us back to God. Shamar Tabrez says, oh Shamar, hearken thee to the voice of God calling you unto you within. These are references given in scriptures, you see, one for all. Inner way is the same for all. Guru Arjan says, what he says, he who sent you to the world, he has sent you now man to call back. Messenger of God. John answered, no man cometh unto the Father except to the Son. So my purpose is just placed before you. This is one inner way. That is in man body only we can have it. But we need somebody who can give us a demonstration of that, something to start with. A man comes, gives a very beautiful lecture on the principles of business. But the people who hear them, they have got no money. They must give him some talent, as Christ said, owner gave some talent to one man, the other so much, so much. So Master give us something to start with. Demonstration of that, and say, don't believe in the words of Master unless you see for your own self what is what, maybe little or more. We have to dwell from there. Where the word philosophy is, then there the religion starts. So, this is within each man, which some as a God man, you say, a man in God, who is the mouthpiece of God, he gives you a demonstration to rise above body. So the company of the saints can be had only through the grace of God. This can be had within us, given by saints. And saints' company can be had only with His grace. And how God sends down grace, descends grace, He sees in each man and says, what this want? My child wants what? If we really after a yearning for Him, there is urge to meet Him within us, He sees our trend of mind, He makes some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where He is manifest. Then to withdraw from outside, way up, and the God is there already. In the outer forms of which light and sound. So such a person is meant with the grace of God. And what yoga he teaches? There are so many yogas. The Hatha yoga is there, it makes your body fit. Prana yoga is there, you can prolong your life. Bhakti yoga is there, in which you have to make a hypothesis. But you cannot rise into the, what you say, unconditioned state. You may have a dip into that through Jnana yoga. So what yoga he teaches, the yoga of the Sotshabd yoga, the natural yoga, the yoga of the attention, which a child, young man, or everybody can do. And that is given by Master, what? In little time, short time. Gives a sitting, all right, sit down. The God working in him, that gives us, of course, we respect him. So the saints bring the same ancient wisdom, no new thing. We forget from time to time. So Master has been coming now and then, east and west, to revive that very old world. After the departure of saints, as I told you, we forget their teachings, we forget the reality, and true religion remits back, easier to bind. And these outer formations come into existence, which are with us today, the labels of which we now carry on our bodies. Each religion has its own history. Six did not exist before 500 years. Mohammedans were not in existence before 1500 years. Christians were not before 2000 years. This is old, eh? Buddhists have their own time. So these religions were made with a very noble purpose to keep the teachings of the Master alive. As long as they were practical people, the people derived the benefit. As time passed on, for want of practical people, the same formations which were raised with very noble purpose result in stagnation, and stagnation results in deterioration. Master again come up, revise the old truth. So inner way is one for all. So how it is revised? God sends men who do this work. You know, Christ said, "For I have not spoken myself of myself, but the Father which has sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should do and what I should speak." They know their purpose, what they have to do, very clear. Guru Nanak said, I only speak as inspired by God, inspired by God. Purvarna says, I simply say what He orders me to say. You see the same thing. My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. Bible says. Kabir says, I brought the message of God to you. I am a messenger only. Prophet Muhammad said the same thing. I am the messenger of God. Come to say, there is God. You see? So saints say, we see with our own eyes. They don't say anything from the books. Books bear testimony to it. All masters were on the way, they said the same thing, of course, in their own languages, prevalent at the time. And now the right interpretation of the scriptures can be given by whom? Who has seen the way? If they are only interpreted at the level of intellect, some will say this, some will say that. No definite thing. So Dadu says, I have seen, I say and tell you, there are very few who can bear testimony that what I say is correct. And this is also Christ said, you see. We say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. How parallel thought you find? All masters say the same thing. So we have got the man body, you see, highest in all creation. This is a golden opportunity that we have got to know God. You see, so long we have been in the man body, ever since we are born, we have also taken the labels of different schools of thought. Let us consider calmly where we stand now. If with the grace of God we have met with some person through whom that grace works, you have been put on the way, then high on. If not, if you really hunger for that, God resides in every heart. He will make some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where you can be given a contribution. That's a matter of giving, demonstration. Not to wait till you die years after. So we have got the man body. You see, this is message what the Master brings from time to time. Message of God, what God is, we are seeing. You can see. And He resides in every heart. So we should love God in all humanity. Says Master, when they come, they don't touch the outer labels we are carrying our different religions. That's the first step we have taken. Man is a social being. He must have some social body to live in. In the time of Guru Nanak, Kabir, there were only two main parties. Now there are more than 700 religions in the world society. So they don't duck. Come to break, but to fulfill, remain. First step is all right. The other thing is to have a true living. That is necessary. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This first thing is second contact with God. So these are the, by parallel study of scriptures you'll find, and they will be, by being huge fit from, by somebody who is adept in that way, through whom God sends grace, then you will also have the same thing within you. So God, true temple of God, is in this man body we are carrying.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of Master's evening talk at the Unity Center in Miami, Florida on December 8, 1972. Our reader this morning is David Halliburton.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to read this morning from Master's talk given in Sawan Ashram in Delhi, and it was printed in the April 74 issue of Satsandesh. The title of it is, What Have You Become? When studying the lives of the great masters, what purpose do we find in them? They show us an example, and seeing such an example, we should pattern our lives upon theirs. Ages go by. Man hears the same words again and again. But in a practical way, how much have we learned? When a school teacher writes the words on the blackboard, the child copies them, carefully trying to make his letters as beautiful as the teacher's. Eventually, he succeeds. The words of the masters are the recorded examples of those who realized the great love. And you are all here to realize that same love. How do the masters get this realization? One by one, the accounts and descriptions of their experiences are given out to you, hearing which a deep enthusiasm swells up, and a yearning is born within one to become like those masters. Is it not so? There is but one way to achieve this noble aim. Love thy Lord, O mind. Love thy Lord. This love is innate in our soul. It is one with our inner true self. For God is love, and the soul is the entity of that love, and so is the very form of that love. Consequently, its nature is to attach itself to something. It should have attached itself to the Supreme Lord, but connected itself instead to the world at large. It is said, wherever one's desire, there one is. And since we left the Lord's lap, we have not, up to now, returned to it. Had we done so, our entire condition today would be very different. Ages have passed, and today we are still sticking on ourselves the labels of caste, religion, social status. Furthermore, through those ages, we have at times been leaders or managers in various walks of mankind's society. But where has it led us? We were busy teaching others and learning nothing ourselves. Where is God? Where is He not? All that we can see is His manifestation. And the nearest approach to Him? He is in every being. And those who say that they have love for God, but do in fact hate any of their fellow beings, who are all God's entities, are nothing but liars. In truth, how can anyone love one whom he has never seen? He who has had no connection with God and has never enjoyed the happiness of that cannot love anything so remote. Real love is the only thing which holds any value. Without love, O man, there is no tranquility in this world or the next. If there is no love in the home, there is conflict, simply through the lack of love. In religions, in different sections of the community, among countries, one with another, in all phases of life, you will find conflict, because love is lacking everywhere. Just take a pinch of love and put it in the household. It will be filled with peace. Put a little love in among a group of workers, and they will start loving one another. Religions and sects can enjoy peace together by incorporating love into their relationships. And the same principle applies to the countries of the world. Love is lacking everywhere. And if there is no happiness here, how can one expect to find it in the beyond? All masters have said that God is love, and the way back to Him is also through love. The true purpose behind ritual and custom was to develop love in us. They were designed to do this work. Guru Nanak said very bluntly, "Burn all customs through which the beloved is forgotten." He said also, "O Nanak, that worship is good, through which love for the Lord is enhanced. Only that love or worship has any value in which the Lord is remembered. If our love for God increases through meeting one another, it is all right. If not, what is the use?" One master even says that we should throw hundreds of books into the fire, if necessary, and should make our heart a garden of flowers of love. What kind of flowers? The words which are being placed before you are flowers from the Lord's garden. The big question is, in what way have you developed? Others may have developed spiritually, but what have you become? Love only gives. It does not take. This is a criterion of love. For love knows no returns. There is another criterion. It knows service. Service without show. Further indication of love is to sacrifice oneself in service, without any show or ulterior motive, like a living martyr who lives only for the love of God. Now, from where can such love be got? That true love is within us, but it has become bound up with the outer world, through us, the attention. In attention there is love. It is the very nature of attention. When expressed toward outer things, this love turns into attachment. But if it withdraws from outside and goes into itself, it becomes whole again. Everything wishes to go toward its natural source, and the source of the soul is God. The flame of a candle rises even if it is turned upside down, for its source is the sun. We must understand these things, and from where our help will come. When Namdev's family told him to bring a carpenter to repair the balcony, he forgot this errand because he was all day in deep remembrance of the Lord. For 3 or 4 days, the same thing happened. The connections of the heart are serious enough. But when the soul itself becomes connected, the result is overwhelming. So finally, Namdev's people became very annoyed with him for his continued failures to bring a carpenter, and threatened to beat him if he failed again. Namdev gave his solemn vow that he would do his duty the very next day. But when the day dawned, he once again forgot everything in remembering God. Seeing his devotee's plight and threat hanging over him, God, in his great benevolence, came himself as the carpenter and repaired the balcony. That evening, when Namdev returned home and saw that the balcony had been repaired with such beautiful workmanship, he knew that his beloved had performed the task. The saying states that only a bulbul, a bird with a distinctive call, can understand the language of another bulbul. Only a true lover of God can recognize the Lord's hand at work. And when the people asked him what payment his carpenter expected, that they might also employ him, Namdev told them that his carpenter did not work under those conditions, but rather demanded true love as his wages. Break away from family and all associations, then my carpenter will come. He comes when one withdraws one's attention from all other things. Why should he come just by the summons? Between him and you stand your children, your friends, money, pride, and ego. It does not mean that he does not have love for all his children. That love does come when you have withdrawn your love from all other things. So now, please ask yourself, how successful have you been? I do not mean this sighing and nodding as if you are intoxicated with ecstasy or other outer demonstration of show. I mean, what have you become? What is it to realizing the Lord? Just uproot it, the attention, from here, and plant it there. Very clearly, both the learned and the unlearned alike can do this work, the work which must be done. It is the very bread and water of life. If there is no gasoline in the tank, how can the motor start? We know that God comes when we really want Him. He comes to the one who has true yearning for the Lord. Ask yourself, do you really desire God? Be honest about it. If the answer truly is yes, then, without your calling Him, He will come. For He would like to meet someone who wishes to meet Him. It is a natural inclination that a person likes to have the attention of someone. But if you have no desire for Him, neither will He desire you. Do you understand this? In love, the tongue becomes very gentle. It catches hold of the other person's heart and drags it. A really love-filled glance can even affect a stone. Masters say very revealing things sometimes. Lord Krishna once remarked that he had a pain in his stomach, the cure of which could be effected by the heart of a living person. And he told one of his closest devotees to get such a heart from somewhere, otherwise he would die The devotee was so concerned, he ran at once and began searching from house to house. But no one was willing to cut his heart out and give it. All day he searched and searched, until finally, at night, exhausted and desperate, he came to the home of a prostitute. When he told her of his mission, she said, "All right, here, take it," and thereupon cut out her heart and handed it to him. At once he ran with the heart to Lord Krishna and sank at his feet. Lord Krishna said, "Oh, you finally found one person who loved me enough to give her heart. But what about yourself? Are you not a living man with a heart? And are you not supposed to be my closest devotee?" You can judge for yourself who was the more devoted of the two, the disciple or the prostitute. Everyone talks about how devoted they are to God, but what about their lives? Where there is love, there is peace, happiness, stillness, and an ever-present attraction toward the Lord, a constant remembrance. What is love, anyway? That is love through which remembrance of the Beloved goes on without a break. Helplessly, through that attraction, the lover is changed into that very attraction. If for only a short time I forget you, my Beloved, it seems like 50 years. In love, the lover and the Beloved become one, and in that oneness, all differences are forgotten. This is why God is described as being love itself, and love is God. And he in whom that love is manifested is an overflowing cup of that nectar of life. Such personalities are said to be overflowing cups of the nectar and color of love, in the company of which the yearning is developed. Overflowing cups of intoxication. The intoxication of Nam, O Nanak, inebriates day and night. Through this, radiation can be imbibed, but not by those who love the body and the world. Masters are like huge magnetic mountains, but if the iron is covered with mud, it cannot be dragged. Remove all the mud, and it will jump towards the magnet. The pull can work from even thousands of miles. You are all sitting here, but where have you reached? You preach, you demonstrate your great devotion, you act and pose. But how much love have you got? You almost kill yourselves fighting one another. This is not love. In love there is cooperation, and those who really love the Lord will naturally have love for all other beings. Is it not a natural sequence that whoever loves the Father will love his children? It may be possible to love the children without loving him, but not vice versa. Masters give the most valuable advice. O mind, love the Lord. O mind, love the Lord. Also, hear ye all, I tell you the truth. God is realized by one who loves. They who learn how to love realize the Lord. The worldly people waste their time sleeping but not the lovers of God. Guru Arjan says, sleep does not come to me. How then do such people pass the night? They spend the night in sighing, for to them, one single day of separation is like thousands of years. What use are all rituals and customs and outer modes of worship if one does not achieve this condition? A certain poet writes, O mathematician, you have calculated many complicated things, but have you ever calculated the length of one night of separation? One master says, no sleep in the eyes or peace in the body, for he comes not, nor writes. O friend, if I do not see my beloved, then how can I live through this dark night? Through the dark night, the lover sits awaiting, and if that spark of light appears, it becomes Id. That's the Muslim holy day, advent of which is determined by the new moon. This light is an indication of his coming. The masters make it possible for those who are blind to see the light of God. Hafiz Sahib describes it as the thief of the heart, coming in the darkness with a lighted lamp in his hand. So, read, think, and digest all this. How much of your life has been given to your development? If the development is there, then all right. Otherwise, you're not making the best use of your precious time. How many people have had the great blessing of meeting God, animate in physical form, during their lifetime? No doubt, the guru and the disciple are one, like the guru is me and I am the guru. But there is great intoxication in the outer attraction of the guru, double attraction, in fact. He is a man like us, sympathetic to our suffering, just as a friend. Also, there is the radiation. A friend can be recognized no matter what clothes he wears. And Guru Angad Sahib goes as far as to say, die in the beloved's presence, but cursed is the life without him in this world. I have said before, love knows service and sacrifice. These are ideals being given to you. Love knows giving, giving in service and in sacrifice. What have we done up to now? Farid is not afraid of his youth passing away, as long as love for the beloved does not pass away. For many lives without love have withered away. What is youth? If you eat and drink, you are healthy. What more is youth? We should be concerned with what the soul says, and the soul's food is love. Masters are sometimes very open. O Lord, you are our friend. But why have you kept us far from you? We have sacrificed everything in your name. Now, without you, there is no life. Who are we, in fact? We are soul. When we forgot this identity, we became the body. Your residence is different, loved one, but you have tied yourself to matter. Similarly, Guru Nanak prays, you reside in the true home, and I am one with matter. It is a prayer of the soul. Imprisoned in this matter, I cannot reach you, and I do not even know the path that will lead me to you. Also, as a prayer to those who have reached him. O brothers, tell him of my condition. Such desperate pleas are a sign of love for the Lord. Rain comes after the clouds form, and very far from God is he who has no tears of separation in his heart. One may be a fine lecturer, or be intellectually advanced in other ways, or a good administrator, or have many other talents, but alive is he in whom the Lord resides. O Nanak, without him, no one is alive. The fact can be explained in many different ways, but the critical question remains, what have you become? Regard the animal with head toward the earth. O man, your head is high after all. Nature has made the animals spend all their lives with their heads down, and their attention always towards the earth. This is not their fault. But man, with his head upright, should keep his attention aloft, toward higher things. Animals fight each other with their horns, etc. When man does this, the outer form is of man, but the habits are of an animal. Pavel Das Ji describes man as an animal with mustache and beard. Will he remain an animal always? When will he become a true man? A man is he who is the image of love, he who lives for all mankind. Only an animal lives for himself, and he who lives for the Lord will automatically live for others with a give and take attitude. If service is being performed, it should be selfless. Bringing happiness to others is really bringing happiness to oneself. Live for others and they will love you. You may have done so much worship and devotion, but if your life is not like this, then no matter to which sect or religion you belong, you are very far from home. Some people light a lamp at the bedside of a dying person. Light the lamp while you live. And what is the use when those in whom this light has been lit do not maintain it? Reformers are wanted, not of others, but of themselves. Know ye that example is better than precept. We do go on advising others to do this or do that or go to the master, but ignoring our own lives, we who do go to the master do not practice what we receive from him. Without love, O man, there is no peace, not in this world nor the next. How much philosophy is needed for this? It matters not if a man be literate or illiterate. This is a subject for everyone. Change your way of living. Excuse me, but our home, the body, is very filthy. What can God do? He is calling, "My children, come to me." But he is alone, and he wishes us to go to him all alone. Everything, body, mind, intellect, pranas, must be left behind. Ask your heart if it really desires God. What harm is there in asking? You can take a day, 2 days, even a few more, to find out what really lies in your heart. And if you do desire the Lord, you will get him. Many people desire God for business purposes. As Christ said, they have their reward. My beloved resides in each being. No place is without him. But I rejoice in that one in whom he is manifested. Wherever he is manifested is worth worshiping. We may not have actually seen him in each being, but we have read and heard the words of the Masters that he is the very life-sustainer in all life. Why, then, so much hatred of one another? Seeing all this in the twilight of my life, I have turned toward the Man Center, Manav Kendra, which is a big revolt against all these conditions. Masters tell us to think of all mankind's caste as one. Guru Nanak said, "This puppet, this body, is of five elements in which the invisible is playing." That's all the time I have today. I've been reading from a talk called What Have You Become? It was printed in the April 1974 issue of Satsandesh. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, David, for reading Master's beautiful words. There were 91 participants at today's Satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance.
So we have to decide what we want at heart of ours. Are we here only for the worldly things? Are we here only for the name and fame of the world? Are we here only to have things of the other world or heaven? Are we really after only emancipation from birth and death? A real lover wants none of them, you see. He wants God, and God alone.